This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Vanessa Coco Jabba. How are you, Vanessa?
I'm very well, Chris. And yourself?
I'm excellent, excellent. We were talking last week about Africa and the wines in Africa and Ghana. And you're saying that people like to have small weddings and funerals of a couple of thousand closest friends. And how do you supply the wine for all that type of thing? So quite concerning, really. If I pop my clogs, I hope to have at least 12 people there. But what I want to talk about this week is I want to explore a little bit about, first of all, the wines and the countries that the wines are making inroads into, Ghana and maybe Nigeria. We've talked about the Francophone areas being a little bit more Francocentric.
Yes.
But I want to talk about sort of some of the more English-speaking areas, the new wine region, the new wine regions.
That's right. We can call it like that. We can call that, yes.
And maybe explore that side of thing. You also said that maybe some of the food that you get in Africa is a little bit different to maybe your typical French cuisine or Asian cuisine.
Absolutely.
And we can maybe explore a little bit about the flavors and the styles of wines that might be appropriate there. Because food and wine is such a weird thing. I was talking to Alberto Oranja earlier, and he was saying in China, for example, he's a bit of a Chinese expert, you know, they just don't drink wine and food. It's just not part of their cultural thing, whereas you're saying, no, in Ghana, everybody's drinking something with their meal.
That's right.
So I'd like to explore that as well. But before we get into that, Vanessa, when did you join the wine trade?
Can I tell you a funny story? My ex-husband was a collector, so he was a wine collector. And we had guests coming to stay with us over a period. And he had quite a lot of cases of wine in one of the bathrooms here in Milan. Why he was keeping them there, I don't know. Obviously, British, so I didn't really know much the value of the wines he had. But he had Barolos from 97, 98 kind of stuff. So I went to a girls, a ladies meeting, and I said, I don't know whether those wines in the bathroom are any good. So if anyone wants some, because I need to clear that bathroom, and he hasn't cleared it. So I started giving the wines away, and people started calling and saying, come and get the wines. We want some more wines. And I said, okay. So he came in and said, oh, good, you cleared them. Where did you put them? And I said, I gave them away. I didn't think they were any good because they were in the bathroom. He said, you did what? So he said, fine. So for our honeymoon, guess what? We're going to a winery. We're going to a vineyard in Tuscany. So we're supposed to go to Barbados or go to Mauritius. He said, no way. We're changing because you're going to bankrupt me. So when I went on the wine and I thought, oh, my goodness. Then I realized the value of the wines that I had given away, started calling back to ask them, if you haven't drunk it yet, can I have those 1,000 euro bottles of wine? And everyone pretended they had drunk them. Of course, they were not going to give them back. So that was my education in 2005.
And then in the bathroom, what, humidity?
It was humidity and everything. So he kept them in a downstairs bathroom in Milan. And he had boarded up the place. So obviously, the light couldn't come in so much. But I didn't know anything about wines then. So I just thought, okay. And then I had a whole education on this winery at this vineyard. It was fun. It was September, so they were doing Vendemia as well. And I thought, this is so exciting. I didn't think that I was going to end up in the wine industry, which I did 6 years after, 2011. Just to a chance travel to Ghana on holiday to launch my bags collection. And then not finding wines, Prosecco and things that I wanted. It was a cheap end. I think I told you that last week.
Yeah.
So I just said to friends, why don't we start bringing wines to Ghana? And I started with Italian wines because I was based here at the time and that's what I knew. And I threw the husband out, but I kept the knowledge about the wines. And that's how I started. So it just completely changed because the more I got into it, the more exciting it became. That I wasn't thinking about this is going to be a big business, this is how much money I was going to make out of it. it was like going to Ghana and saying to people, look here, there are other wines apart from what you have on the market. And this goes with our food, and that goes well with our food. And as girls, we can sit down and chat. When you're having a funeral, you're having a wedding, you can have this and that. And people got excited about it. Like, finally, okay, someone is thinking about us.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into it. And
okay.
That was 2011.
Okay.
So 11 years ago.
11 years ago. Okay, yes. Cool. So let's talk about any brands that sort of make it. I'm just going to refer back to China because I think of China as being a coming from a non-wine culture now to being, I wouldn't say it's a hardcore wine culture, but it's certainly...
People appreciate wine.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of people drinking wines and all that type of stuff. And, when I first started seeing China getting into wine maybe 20 years ago, mm-hmm. It was all the super expensive stuff. That was all, and it was all about gifting. That was the big thing. It was about, no one actually drank the stuff. They just used to give it because it was an expensive present.
That's right.
It was red.
And that is happening in Ghana as well. So there's a lot of gifting. And when they want to part with it as a gift, they want in a wooden box, for example. So presentation is very key. Mm-hmm. The label is very key. The style of the bottle is very key. So never mind what the content is. But if the bottle and the presentation is not attractive, they're not getting it because they can't gift it.
Gifting is a big thing, is it?
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
huge,
yeah.
Huge, 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 huge.
You're not like China where there's more Chateau Mouton in China than there's actually produced in France.
That's right.
It's not like there's a lot of fake wines in Ghana, is it?
Not as much. You find a lot more fake hard liquor than you do find wines in Ghana, in the Ghanaian market. And also because the Food and Drugs Authority in Ghana are very strict and they do their checks, their due diligence. So if they find you doing that, there's a huge penalty as well. So you would get some fake perhaps coming in from other neighboring countries that will find their way in, but they stem them out a lot. And it's more going to be on the hard liquor than it would be on the wine.
In Ghana, is there any particular countries that are doing quite well?
Yes. If you're looking at the entry level, then Spain is big.
Okay. Yeah,
Spain
yeah.
is big. The cartoned wines and stuff like that has done well. South Africa, because they put a lot behind marketing.
Yeah.
So South Africa, on a yearly basis, they do come to Ghana and they do wine tasting. They bring different wineries to Ghana. They sponsor them. I remember a couple of years ago, about 6 years ago, and I set up Vinafrica, for example, and I approached wineries in Italy, and they were saying they didn't have the budget. Because their regions would not support them or sponsor them to come to Africa. The money was being looked at for Asia, for example. So they didn't have that physical cash. And coming to Africa is not cheap. The flights and everything isn't cheap. The hotels aren't cheap. So they didn't want to invest that kind of money, which is a real shame for them. Because if you're not investing, how are you going to, build that market for them to know your brands or your wines? So French wines, because of the colonies and stuff, were able to penetrate, but they've been around for about 30-40 years in even Ghana. So some of the wineries think, this is like the gold rush time where you can just come in and bring your wines in and everyone's going to buy. No, because if we don't know your wines, we're not going to buy it. So that investment in marketing and getting people to taste your wines, South Africa was very good at that. The French were good at that. The Spanish were good at that. We had Chilean wines coming in. We have Australian wines coming in. Now we have American wines, so Napa Valley and stuff coming in as well. Argentinian wines, so people know Malbecs and stuff. But it's still heavily South African, French, Spanish wines, entry level. When you go to the medium and high end, then you're going to see a lot of Italian wines coming in. And then you're going to see wines from other regions as well coming into the market. Yeah.
Why Italian wines in the medium to high end?
When I started, there wasn't a lot of Italian wines on the market, which I was happy about. Because
that was your USP.
That's right. So that allowed me to get in with exactly that. you know, to aim it, not, you have to start somewhere. And if you're going to compete at a low level, then it's about price, price, price. Mm-hmm. But then you're losing the quality. And there was a lot on the market already. So that was not my aim. My aim was to get to the medium, mid-income people and get to the top people as well. And not just that, so that when people who've been drinking the lower-end wine say, okay, we want something different, we're already there. And they can try that different wine, different price point, and look at the correlation between price and quality as well. So we aimed at that side of the market and took it to the top as well.
It's interesting you say Italy, because you think about Italian wines mm-hmm. around the world.
Yes.
And Italian wines normally get their penetration through Italian restaurants.
That's right.
You know, you go to the UK, and where does Italian sell their wine? They sell it in the entree at restaurants.
That's
right. In America, it's at restaurants. You know, Italian wines are sold in supermarkets, but that's not that they are far from dominant. So when COVID-19 hit and people stopped going to restaurants, and now with the world recession that we're cruising into at the moment, mm-hmm. you know, Italy, I was listening to a presentation earlier, and Italy's got a chronic oversupply of wine because they've just lost their market.
That's right.
Through restaurants. Is there a lot of it?
I did the opposite, though, because when I looked at Ghana, and the restaurants, you have to rely on the waiters and waitresses to sell the wines. Mm. Most of the waiters and waitresses in Ghana, when I started 11 years ago, were not well informed about wines.
No.
So they couldn't push wines to the, they couldn't recommend wines to the consumers, to people who were patronizing the restaurants. So you had to pick your wine. Not rely on the waitress to tell you about the wines for you to pick. So based on that, I wasn't looking at the hotels and restaurants per se to sell wines to them. I was looking at how I could get to the end consumer. So we did a lot of wine tasting food pairing. And I started doing a blog as well and a broadcast using WhatsApp or whatever means. And I was on TV shows. I was on, which was broadcast on DSTV, so to all African countries. So with all those events, product activations, wine and food pairings, Vinafrica wine festivals and all of that, we were reaching the end consumer. So by the time COVID hit, the end consumer was home. And they still wanted wine, but they knew they could pair it with a local food. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't about having food in a restaurant. Because when I started, there were just about 2 Italian restaurants in Ghana. So if I was going to go through the Italian restaurants to sell Italian wine, how many people were going there to eat and to drink? And one of them was bringing his own wines in anyway.
Yeah.
So, and he was catering to the top end of the market. So how was I going to get Prosecco in? How was I going to get Montepulciano? They couldn't even pronounce the name, but they loved the taste of it. So I had to look at it from a different, use a different strategy by getting to the end consumer first through corporate companies who do events and stuff, through private people having their parties and stuff. And those continued to have their parties during COVID. Boris Johnson did. So they also did at home in Ghana. So that's what they did. And they were buying the wines. So eventually, then the hotels and restaurants wanted the same wines because people were drinking those wines at home and wanted them in the restaurant. So I turned it round. I didn't go to the restaurants first. I went to the end consumer first.
So let's talk a little bit about the food in Ghana and the wines with her. I've been to some African restaurants over the years, but I wouldn't be able to say whether it was a Ghanaian restaurant or not. But
we're still talking about Africa as in one country or Africa as in the continent with 54 countries?
All of them. So, it's my ship and bush days. I wouldn't remember much from those days. Ghana food, what you said it was quite highly spiced, protein and carbs, as you're using words like that. What does that really mean?
Ghana food is very diverse in terms of we have food which are oily fattiness in terms of we use palm oil, for example, with certain dishes. We have fried food as well. You know how Italians will have a primo piatto? So they'll have the first dish, which is the carbohydrates, and then they'll have the second dish, secondo, which is a fish. We have all of it on one plate. Mm-hmm. So you have to have wine that can, you know, you have the complex carbohydrates and you have the complex protein as well. We eat a lot of rice, for example, but there's a whole debate going on about Ghana jollof rice and Nigerian jollof rice and the Senegalese one and who started jollof rice.
I didn't even know what jollof rice is.
Right. It's a savory rice dish.
Okay.
So it's like the tomato sauce, stew and everything. Then you bang the rice in it and cook it with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can have it with fish, chicken, whatever. That's one of the biggest dishes, you know, most popular dish in Ghana. I love it. But it can be spicy. And it has tomatoes, which has acidity. Then you have the pepper.
That umami, yeah.
Exactly. We have fried plantain. We have fish. We have lobsters, prawns, all of that, but we cook it differently. Then we have spinach, we have the soups, we have fufu, so fufu and palm nut soup. We have fufu and groundnut soup. So it's not groundnut, whole groundnuts, it's like the groundnut paste that's used to make it. Fufu is made from plantain, it's pounded plantain with a bit of cassava. I'm sure you know what plantain is.
No.
You don't? Oh my goodness. So plantain is a family member of the banana.
Okay.
But it's not edible raw. You have to cook it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can boil it or you can boil and then turn it into fufu. That's a national dish in Ghana.
Okay.
We have banku. That is from Kondo. So the corn.
Yeah.
Soaked, then milled, then fermented, and they use it to make a starchy dish that we have with stews. Okra stew and things like that. So that sounds heavy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then we have food that is also sweet, 100% vegetarian, like plantain with bean stew. Mm-hmm. So when you have complex dishes like that, what wine do you pair with it? So what we did was look at how people will drink wine. They will start drinking before they eat. So if the wine is not palate friendly, they won't like it. So the fruitiness of the wine for the average person. So we're not looking at people who've been drinking wine, have become savvy. We're not looking at the top end.
No.
We're looking at just everyday life person. So they want a wine that they can sit is easy drinking, and then they can have it with their meal. So what wine will go with it? Since our food has acidity and has the oiliness and has the pepper as well, the chili,
yeah.
What wine will go with it? If the wine is too dry, heavy tannins.
Yeah, I was going to say an off-dry white.
Exactly. We do have people who love the whites. They'll chill it. They have fish, so they go for whites mainly. Rosé is not so big. People always saw African market as just sweet wines. And it's the contrary for me. Yes, I do have sweet wines, but then people are beginning to look at sugar level in their drinks as well. So for entry, people who are starting or introducing themselves to wine, if they were drinking Coca-Cola before, yes, they want something sweet. But people who have moved away from that don't want that. They want something that's a bit roundish, a bit not too robust. So Cabernet Sauvignon works very well.
Okay.
With our foods. People know Merlot. People like, love in Ghana, Chateau Neuf de Pape. Because it's Shiraz grape and Grenache. So the spiciness of that goes well with our food. French wine.
Big alcohols as well.
Yes, big on alcohol. And that's important. So they like full-bodied wines, medium to full-bodied wines. All those very young wines is not something. They'll tell you, why am I drinking this? Because they're spending so much money. They want to feel the kick of the alcohol as well. So it shouldn't be just a light wine that they can't taste much. They say, well, what is this? I'm not tasting it. So that's really important, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, then. I think we'll wrap it up there, Vanessa.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, too.